community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Now, it's absolutely packed in here today. There's never seen so many people at the studio at once. I'm joined in the studio by Barry Hearn, who is the sporting events promoter and the founder and chairman of the promotions company Matchroom Sport. And he's here to talk about an event that's happening at St Francis Hospice, a golfing event. But before we talk about that and about the event that's on the Thursday, the 25th of September, at Abridge Golf and Country Club, how did your interest in sport first start off, Barry?
I think I've always been a sports fan. Unfortunately, whilst I'm a gold medal winner in enthusiasm, God didn't give me any ability whatsoever. So everything I tried, I was okay at, but I was never special. But I'm passionate about sport and the effect it has on the community and the country as a whole. But in the end, I had to be a sports promoter rather than a sportsman because I found out I was okay at that.
Mm. And you grew up in Dagenham?
I was born in Dagenham. I grew up, I had a few years there, then I went to Debden, the industrial estate, and yep. Spent there 16 years there, and went into accountancy when I left Buckersteel Grammar School.
Yeah. And do you remember sort of like the boxing would be at like a seven, round sort of like the cauliflower and that sort of thing, or around the Robin Hood pub, or would that be a...
I was always, I mean, boxing sort of goes with working class districts anyway, so yep. There was always clubs out there. I was a member of Waltham Forest Boxing Club, and then I joined Garden City, which was on Debden Estate. But again, I wasn't very good, so I ended up getting injured.
Yep.
And spending a lot of time on the floor thinking, this is not a safe profession.
Mm.
So I like one-to-one conflicts in any sport, you know, probably more so than teams, which is why I like the darts and the snooker and stuff like that. But it's just a shame. I'm sure I could have been brilliant, but God decided I had to take another path, so I went down that route.
With all the sports you're promoting, what would you say today has been your biggest achievement?
Well, of course, there are so many, Michelle, you know.
I was reading through some of your stuff.
It's 40 years. I must have done something in 40 years, because otherwise I wouldn't be invited onto this prestigious Phoenix station, you know, and spare time with the legendary Michelle.
Thank you.
I mean, snooker was my first love. Obviously, 1975, I started doing snooker events. And then, of course, I had the good fortune to bump into one of the great Phoenix presenters, Steve Davis, in 1976. And we've been mates and looked after his career, you know, coming up for now, 40 years.
Yeah.
It's scary. And I can't understand why I've stayed the same age and he's got older. But... snooker still, as the chairman of World Snooker, is still a sport very close to my heart, and I enjoy the globalisation of that sport. I'm off to Shanghai on Saturday and Bangkok on Monday, and I sort of travel around trying to spread the game and the gospel of the game. I suppose boxing, of course, my son's taken over, but that's been a sport that we've done since sort of 1986-87 with the big Bruno Bugner fight being the big one, and culminating a couple of weeks ago when Eddie staged Carl Froch and George Groves at Wembley in front of 80,000 people. So that's a big tick. But the really outstanding success, I suppose, of taking a sport from nowhere to sort of superstar status would be darts, really.
Mm.
I mean, 12 years ago when I took over the darts, it was doing okay, wasn't making any money. Prize funds in the year added up to about £500,000. But these darts players are such good guys. I mean, they're ordinary blokes, and I think people can associate with them. And, of course, the whole of darts, but it's a party, basically. Mm. You know, you're watching world-class sport, but you're having a great time, which is something the youngsters today want to do, and it's why it's so difficult to get a ticket for a darts event, because they sell out so quickly. But if you'd have told me 12 years ago that I'd get 11,000 people at Leeds Arena watching a Premier League darts match, I'd have taken you off to have a lay down in a dark room. But that's what's happening now. Darts is the hottest ticket in sport, second highest rated sport on Sky behind Premiership football. And the prize money is going up towards £10 million now. And ordinary people and ordinary kids coming through the youth tour are making a proper living playing a sport. And a lot of people look down their nose at it. I mean, no one says a dart player can run the 100 metres faster than Usain Bolt.
Yep.
It's very unlikely to happen, you know. But at the end of the day, they dedicate their lives to precision and accuracy, and the dedication involved means they deserve that sort of status. And, you know, darts players now can make £1 million plus a year.
Do you think it's because it's accessible?
Everyone can play for free. I mean, we've got a history in this country of, you know, pubs in dart rooms going back to, you know, the dark ages where archers would break their arrows and throw the smaller arrow at a target in an alehouse.
Hmm.
Well, today we throw a steel tip dart into a dartboard in a pub or club or darts academy as they are springing up all over the country. It is an accessible sport. It's easy to play. We've seen on the youth tour now kids that have put a dartboard up in their bedroom and just, you know, maybe they didn't want to play football. Maybe they didn't want to be athletic enough to participate in rugby or cricket. But they've learned how to throw the arrows and now they're making a life and they've got a future and it's aspirational for a lot of kids in a lot of areas. And it's just fabulous to see. And I think that's go down as one of my highlights of my last 40 years because it's something that no one saw coming and we've turned it into something quite amazing.
Now, if you could be a champion, I know you said you're not very sporty, but if you could be a champion...
No, I'm very sporty, I'm just not very good.
If you could be a champion at any of the sports that you kind of promote, what one would you think, well, actually, that's the one I would like to win
always,
the prize in?
When I was young, you know, it was listening to radio and listening to Ali fights coming over, and I used to study the old great fighters, Jack Dempsey, you know, going back through the ages of professional boxing, and I grew up desperately keen to be heavyweight champion of the world.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I just couldn't fight. Mm. I mean, I was okay, but I could hold my hands up, as they say.
Yeah.
But that's why, I always wanted to be heavyweight champion of the world. But, you know, some kids want to be a railway driver, some people want to be a post office worker or whatever. I wanted to be a boxer. And I've kept the respect because of for the sport because of those, because I know how tough it is, and I see... And I've tried, and I know how special these athletes are.
Mm.
So it's a pleasure to be involved in some of the great careers of looking at Carl Froch, obviously going back to Eubank, Ben, Lennox Lewis, Prince Nazim Hamid. And today, now, looking at the best prospect I've ever seen, Anthony Joshua, the Olympic gold medal heavyweight, he is going to be something really special. And actually, to plan a career around his training and his promotion, and watching him fight and actually achieve his dreams and change his life is very, very satisfying.
Now, you're involved with St Francis Hospice, and we are here at the station, and most people that I talk about St Francis quite a lot because they're a fantastic organisation that look after people with life-limiting illnesses. My sister was there, actually, and I know other people have had friends and family there. Before we talk about the golf event, how did you get involved with St Francis?
Well, the same way as you, probably, the same way as most people, and it's a sadness that we only get involved with St Francis when we need them rather than when they need us. My mother-in-law went there to say goodbye to this planet and go on to the next one. And I have to say, you know, it was quite a touching moment because I was so impressed with the services they deliver, the respect they show people.
Yeah.
And making this transition from this world to the next, you know, with almost a sense of humour. You know, I loved my mother-in-law there and she'd be, ooh, here comes the drink
trolley. You know, I knew you were going to say that. That was it.
But there was respect there at the same time. Everybody knew the score because... Yep. You know, we're all going to go that route, and we're all actually local people. And I love local charities because I think they're so specific. You can actually see the work being done and feel the benefit to the community. Sadness is that we're all going to need St Francis Hospice in one way. It will touch everybody's family at some stage.
If you're lucky enough to get there.
Well, but we're in a situation with this crazy world we live in and crazy governments that seem to get their priorities upside down, that they don't contribute enough to these places.
No.
So we have a choice, and I think it's a selfish choice. You know, I'm 66 now, so I'm looking at getting my room reserved at some time in the future, hopefully sometime long in the future.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's nice to know there are people like St Francis Hospice there, ready to care. And if we don't do things, if we just rely on government funding, they simply won't exist.
No.
And you can't imagine having experienced someone you love pass over, you can't imagine that facility not being there. But if we don't get off our backside and do something about it, we can't rely on other people to get us out of trouble. And it will, as I say, it will touch every local family at some stage or the other.
Because it's not just the work they do at the hospice, they actually have people that go out and care for people in their homes as well. Yeah. So it does, and you know.
Well, they could do so much, but they're going to be limited by their own resources. Yeah. The fact is, they're a wonderful bunch of people that work tirelessly to make people's lives easier.
Yeah.
And it can be from the point of view of even, you know, talking and reassuring those that have been left behind to cope with the loss of a close member of family.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not just somewhere to go and on the way to the mortuary. You know, it's much, much more than that. And it reaches every part of the family. So they are essential. But, you know, try telling that to government ministers. And the money involved is so minimal. But there should be St Francis Hospice in every town or an equivalent hospice. And there are a number of people out there doing some great work for both children and for older people. But, you know, you can't imagine that it happens to you until it does. You know, we should be looking in that crystal ball and saying we need to make an effort.
Well, you've come in today to talk about the Autumn Golf Day, which is taking place on Thursday the 25th of September at the Abridge Golf and Country Club. That's Stapleford Tawney. And it's a course designed by legendary Henry Cotton, who won the Open Championships in the 1930s and 1940s. It's £95 per person, which also includes annual membership to the social golfer.com. And guests can come to the evening meal for £25. And there's a chance for businesses and organisations to raise their profile by sponsoring a hole for £50 each.
Yeah, it's a fun day. I mean, I think this is a win-win situation. You know, we've been doing a lot of these golf days for St Francis over the last, I don't know, 6 or 7 years. And selfishly, I have to say, I really enjoy the day. Mm. I mean, it's quite nice to know it's raising substantial bits of money for St Francis. That makes me feel good as well. But it's a fun day. So I go along, Steve Davis, that great Phoenix presenter. he turns up and a few mates of mine from the snooker world, the darts world, the boxing world, whatever, and we have a crack.
Yeah.
And along the way, you know, we do a sort of sporting memorabilia auction at the end and basically try and get in everybody's pockets for as much as possible, but with a smile on our face, because life's for living, and when we're not living, we want to know St Francis are going to look after us. So I think everyone's singing from the same hymn sheet, and it's a blinding day out. So I'd recommend anyone who, you know, even a partial golfer that can get round a beautiful course, because Abridge is a lovely course. The people there are excellent. They really look after us. And it's a good crack. I'd come along if I was you.
My dad took up golfing when he was about 68.
But he played
up until, well, just before he, like, a couple of years before he died, but he absolutely loved it, and he took it up really late in life. But he just, and I never thought my dad would be a golf person, but he just loved to go out and sort of, you know, it wasn't really competitive, but he kind of always won.
Well, I mean, from a funny thing, I mean, even walking around is good for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it's a frustrating game, you know. It's a tough game to play, but I think good luck to your dad if he took it up at that age.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal time. I mean, I'm obviously going to start up taking up discos or something.
Rollerblading, something like that. That'd be quite good.
Yeah. We're bare-knuckle fighting. I don't know. But it's always good, you know, to have things that you look forward to. And I look forward to St Francis. I know Steve does as well. We always joke about it. But we get very competitive on the golf course, as you would.
Yep. And who's the better out of the two of you at playing golf?
I think marginally Davis. But typical Steve, you know, he plays in a sort of very precise, boring fashion, you know. So he's technically better than me, but he doesn't have my passion, you know.
No.
He doesn't have my outgoing personality. He is a very dull lad, you know.
There you go, Steve, if you're listening. If you want to find out more, you can email fundraising@sfh.org.uk, or you can call 01708 771 405. And don't forget, that's Thursday the 25th of September, Abridge Golf and Country Club at Stapleford Tawney, and that's the Autumn Golf Day, which is taking place for St Francis Hospice. And as you know, that Barry and Steve will be there on the day as well. And then you've got the meal in the evening, £95 per person. You can also sponsor the holes as well for £50 each. And then you've got all the auction in the evening.
It just sounds too good to miss, doesn't it? I mean, I don't know why we're not. I'm going to go out and get some practice now. You've inspired me, Michelle.
I do that. I'm a natural promoter. There we go.
Well, listen. There's a job for you somewhere. I know a sports promoter somewhere. I'd be interested in that.
Thank you. Thank you very much for coming in today. It's
Michelle,
lovely to meet you.
Absolute pleasure. And keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
Great local service. Well done.
Cheers. Thank you very much. Right, 11:21. Here's Stereophonics with Dakota.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.